Well, it's here. Christmas morning is just a few hours away, and I know that starting tonight, I'm really the only thing between you guys and Christmas right now. I got that. So I got a lot of power happening here. Starting tonight, and then, of course, tomorrow, and for some of us, a few days after that, we're going to be celebrating Christmas, and we're going to be exchanging gifts. We have all these traditions, right? All these traditions. Some of you have spent today, or you're going to spend tomorrow morning preparing that special dish, right? Like for my family, it's Grandma Zebra's broccoli rice casserole. I don't know why, but we got to have that every year. It's not Christmas, that idea. Some of you are going to spend time around the piano or just singing as with your voices and singing the carols, and that's part of your family's tradition. And some of you are going to be spending some time watching your favorite Christmas movie. Now I think it's just me, but it seems like there's more and more Christmas movies every year. I think we can thank the Hallmark Channel for that. Christmas movies now start on October 15th for whatever reason, right? And I know that a few of you have some of the newer movies that are your favorites, but for me, there's only one Christmas movie that means anything, and that is, of course, a Charlie Brown. How many people here with me? Charlie Brown's Christmas, absolutely. My Christmas is not complete until I watch a Charlie Brown's Christmas. And we watch it every year as a family, and I still laugh at all the corny jokes and all of Snoopy's antics and all that, and it's just it's always a fun time. My favorite scene, and perhaps it's yours too, in the entire movie is when Charlie Brown gets back from getting his Christmas tree. And if you've never seen the movie, you need to reevaluate some things, first of all. But if you've never seen the movie, he gets his Christmas tree. You can see it right there. And it's pretty scraggly. And he brings it back. And it's not what everyone wanted. They wanted a brand new fancy artificial tree and all that. And so everyone's just piling on poor old Charlie Brown there. And he's really discouraged. And he says, "I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster." Anybody else feel that way? I don't know. It's just me, maybe. "I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about." And then he says to really everyone, and really no one in particular, "Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And Linus says, "Well, sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And he goes to the center of the stage, and he asks for the spotlight. And there he stands with what? His trusted security blanket, right? And if you follow the Peanuts crew at all, you know that Linus always has his security blanket. He turns that thing in all sorts of different props and things like that, but he never is without his security blanket. That's his trademark. That blanket is always with him. And then Linus reads the Luke passage that I read just previously here, and because it was Charles Schulz, it's the King James Version. And he says, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" And here in the cartoon, something very subtle but very significant happens. Linus drops the blanket. See, because when you've placed your trust in God, there's no reason to fear. And he continues, "For behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel an multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And then Linus picks up his blanket and he walks over and he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." Here at Ebenezer all this month, we've been going through a sermon series that I've titled Messiah. And we've been looking at the Old Testament prophecies that spoke of this coming Messiah. and what he would look like in the circumstances around his birth. And we have been discovering, once again, that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And tonight, I want to take just a few moments. My folks know I tend to be long-winded, but I'm going to take just a few moments to look at one of these prophecies, and it actually involves someone who has the same fear and doubt and worry that caused Linus to need his security blanket in the first place. I invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah this evening if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 7. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, this verse at Christmas time is a familiar one for many of us. It gets put on all sorts of different things, wall hangings, mugs, posters, things like that. I believe it's on the front of your bulletin cover. And it gets plucked out and all we see is this verse. But there's a whole lot happening around this verse. And if we don't understand the context, we're really not understanding exactly what is going on here and how this relates to the Christmas story. So in the context around here, Isaiah is talking to a guy named King Ahaz. Now, I understand it's Christmas Eve and I'm doing Old Testament history with you. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right? It's going to be all right. We're going to get back to the Christmas story, I promise. King Ahaz is king of Judah in the divided kingdom. There's Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And Ahaz, woo boy, Ahaz, he is not a nice guy. And he is certainly not a godly king. And Ahaz has a big problem. See, there's this huge, big bully of a nation called Assyria from the north that is coming down and is threatening Judah, Israel, and all the surrounding nations in the area. And two of those nations, Israel and a nation called Aram, have formed an alliance to try to defeat Israel together. And they've asked Ahaz to join in, to bring the army of Judah along for the ride in this battle. And Ahaz refused, and so now Aram and Israel have turned on Judah. And they are now threatening to attack Judah and take the city of Jerusalem. So Ahaz has a choice to make. He has two choices. First, Ahaz can for once trust in God, that God is going to protect him, that God is going to come and bless him and be with him and all that. Or he can trust in himself and others. Ahaz is scared. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 2, it says, "Now the house of David told Aram, or house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind." And so God, who is a good and righteous God, sees Ahaz scared out of his mind. And even though Ahaz isn't a godly king, doesn't follow God at all, God sends him Isaiah to provide comfort and counsel. And Isaiah, in the verses leading up to Isaiah 7:14, he tells Ahaz, look, God says, don't be afraid, because within 65 years, both Aram and Israel are going to be no more. Don't be afraid. And then God tells Ahaz through Isaiah, and all who heard this prophecy, it says at the end of chapter 7, verse 9, stand firm in the faith. And if you do not stand firm in your faith, well, you will not stand at all. And then God tells Ahaz to simply ask for a sign. And God will give him a sign that what Isaiah is saying is going to be true, and that if he stands with God, God will take care of him. What an amazing scene. Here we have the mighty king of Judah, scared out of his mind that he's going to lose his country and his city. And God sends this prophet Isaiah to say, hey, don't be afraid. Essentially, I got this. Stand firm in your faith. And you know what? ask me for a sign and I'll give it to you so you know that what Isaiah is telling you is true. And what does Ahaz do? He refuses to ask for a sign. See, he's already made up his mind. He's going to form an alliance with Assyria, his enemy. He's not going to trust in God. He's going to trust in his diplomatic abilities. He's going to trust in the military might of his enemy. And so he is going to willingly subjugate himself to an enemy and a godless nation and allow them to rule over him because he's not willing to trust in God. And God, through Isaiah, responds. And it's not going to turn out well for Ahaz. Spoiler alert. One scholar says the situation this way. He says, this would be like a mouse sending for the cat to help with two rats. I think that's pretty good. God tells Ahaz that Assyria is going to turn on him. And that time and land when Assyria does that is going to be a dark one for the country. But once again, as we have seen throughout this month, every prophecy of judgment in the Old Testament is accompanied by a prophecy of hope. And Isaiah says, therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. This was God's sign to his people that he would be with them. Emmanuel means God with us. And so, was this prophecy fulfilled? Yes. Twice. It was fulfilled in the near term because everything that God prophesied would happen happened exactly the way he said it would. Aram and Israel did fall to Assyria. Assyria did turn on Judah. And it was only when God came later and finally rescued Judah that the nation was saved in that way. And we see the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew writes, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The birth of the Messiah, once again, happens exactly the way the Old Testament says it would happen. So, the question we've been asking throughout this series, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? All right, fine. All right, that's kind of wild, that whole virgin birth thing, but all right, what's the big deal? Man, the virgin birth is so important, and here's why. Only one born without a sin nature can redeem those with a sin nature. The Bible is very clear that every one of us is born with a sin nature. It is the curse, if you will, of Adam, that sin nature has been passed down through the generations, and it is given to us, it says in Romans 5, by our earthly fathers. This sin nature means that we can't avoid sin. We can't not sin. And that creates a very big problem. See, the wages of our sin is death. And so each one of us, every man, woman, and child, has a dilemma. Because of our sin, we cannot go be with a pure and righteous and holy God. And we can't stay here. That's a problem. That's a very big problem. But Jesus, he didn't have an earthly father. And he was born without a sin nature. And only one who was born without a sin nature can redeem those born with a sin nature. What Jesus did when he died on the cross for you and for me. My friends, the reason why the virgin birth is a big deal is that the virgin birth is the reason why you and I can have eternal life. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior. That's why this is such a big deal. Friends, I don't know where any of you are at spiritually this evening. I don't know where in your journey with God you are. But I am quite sure that many of us, if not all of us, are facing some pretty tough choices right now. We're like King Ahaz. We're in a time of trouble. Some of us are worrying, some of us are fretting, and some of us, well, let's face it, are scared. And like King Ahaz, we have a choice. We can trust in God, or we can trust in ourselves and others. God has given us His sign. The baby was born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem, and He was born of a virgin. God with us. And not only that, the promise of Scripture is that God is for us. Do you understand that this evening? God is for you. He loves you. And He wants the very best for you. But my friends, the truth of Scripture is this. You have to choose. Each day and in every situation, who you will place your trust in. Will you place your trust in God? Or are you going to place your trust in yourself? My hope tonight, my prayer, is that each one of you chooses Jesus. Listen to me. Choosing Jesus doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of our problems are solved. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden the pain disappears, the sickness goes away, the banking accounts are restored, relationships are repaired. It doesn't mean that that happens right away. But it does mean this. It means that our future is secure. And that future on the other side of eternity, friends, I know what I'm talking about here, means the absence of pain, the absence of stress, the absence of disease, the absence of death. How many people here say, that's a pretty good deal? That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? That's what this virgin birth means. Because Jesus didn't have a sin nature, because he lived a sinless life, he could die on the cross for you and for me. One man took the penalty for all men's sin for all time. And it also means this. It means that Jesus will walk with us through our journey and our trials every step of the way. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 28:18 says this. These are Jesus' final instructions to his disciples and us. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, what? I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is our Messiah. And that is who we celebrate tonight. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to begin that with a time of quiet. For those of us with young children, it may well be the last moment of quiet for a long time. During that time, I invite you to speak with God. Whatever's on your heart this morning. Again, I don't know where any of you are at. I don't know all the trials that you may be facing. But I know this. I know who I'm putting my trust in. And I hope you do too. And if you are here tonight and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, boy, tonight would be a really great night to do that. Don't celebrate another Christmas without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause and we come before you, laying out our hearts to you. Father, I pray that you might come and that you might minister to each one here as they need. Father, I don't know what's on their hearts right now, but I know that you do. And so I ask that you come and you minister to them. Father, we pray that if any loved one who is represented here in this sanctuary tonight does not know Jesus, that this Christmas would be the Christmas that they make that decision. And if there are any here tonight who have not yet accepted Jesus, and you're ready to trust in Him and not in yourself, I invite you to pray along with me this prayer. Father, I recognize that I am a sinner. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've said things I shouldn't have said. And Lord, I am tired of trying to do this on my own. So Lord, tonight, I want to place my trust in Jesus as my Savior. And I want to begin to follow Him. Father, I am sorry for my sins. And I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for them. Thank you, God, for saving me. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for the promise that the Messiah was born of a virgin, and that would be a sign that we know that you will always be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to... Man, thanks for being here tonight. I hope that you're blessed because you came. If you prayed that prayer tonight, man, would I love to talk with you about what it might look like moving forward, a walk with Jesus Christ. So I'd love to talk through that. Those of you that ordered poinsettias, please don't forget to pick them up on your way out. And if you're a guest here today, guess what? We do this thing every Sunday. And you are invited to come on back and be with us and worship with us again. But we're so glad you're here. It is my great honor to say, have a Merry Christmas. Blessings as you go.